Saturday's matches, I woke up late and didn't have a chance to do much pregame research. Old Chicago was my first stop, and after 2 days of drinking and pizza, I went with some water and a sandwich. I told myself I was going to be good, but with tons of beer on tap, I create a flight of Sierra Nevada Ruthless, Sam Adams Summer Ale, Blue Moon Honey Wheat, and Bell's Amber Ale. All in all, not a bad selection. Bell's Amber was a familiar choice, and I enjoyed that. Neither of the seasonal beers were anything to write home about. The Ruthless was something different, and I'm not sure I could have finished a whole pint of that. Okay, on to the soccer. I'm glad the first game was Colombia-Greece. Get that Greek game out of the way as soon as possible and moved on to the perceived better games. In reviewing the lineups, Karagounis didn't start for Greece, while Martinez and Baca were on the bench for Colombia. Colombia struck first inside 5 minutes, which was encouraging because it forced Greece out of their shell. And the Greeks slowly came into the match, but when Colombia had a little bit of time, they were able to create chances, and the pace of Colombia definitely gave the Greeks pause. Kone, I believe that's how you say his name, showed some invention throughout the match for the Greeks, and just before halftime gave a glimpse of his quality drawing a great save out of Espina. And the chance came out of Greece just willing the ball forward, which showed a possible way forward in the second half. Greece had chances but couldn't find the breakthrough and eventually fell behind 2-0. Colombian subs kept up the pressure and were poised to take advantage of the Greek aggressiveness. Tyler Twellman on ESPN picked out Torresidis as the Greek's best player, but as he rightly said, if your best player is a right back, that's a problem. Mitroglou came on and was a non-factor. I did get a little tired of the J-Rod tag for James Rodriguez. The announcers went back to it time and time again. I hope that's an American thing, it's not picked up worldwide. Right before the final whistle, Rodriguez was rewarded with a goal and put Colombia in the driver's seat in the group. For my predictions, I had predicted a slimmer victory, but I still have Colombia going through. Next up was Uruguay against Costa Rica. The key question for me is, would Suarez play? And if so, how effective would he be? He didn't start as Uruguay went with Cavani and old man Forlan up top. The game was in Fortaleza, which I guess was one of the stadiums that was done on time with no issues, but there were a lot of empty seats to start. For the first time in the tournament, my attention started to really wander as neither team could do much going forward. There was a series of misplaced passes which led to transitions which led to another misplaced pass and so on. Midway through the first half, the referee blew for a penalty against Junior Diaz of Costa Rica. He had grabbed Lugano around the waist as he went up for a header, and I had no real problem with the decision. Based on the slow motion replays, I think Lugano and Phil Jones should have a face-off and see who can come with the weirdest, most awkward expressions. Watching the games with two women provided an interesting contrast to the previous day. A lot more comments on the fit of the uniforms and the hotness of particular players. They did notice that Christian Rodriguez was wearing one red and one blue shoe. Turns out that's a Puma thing. I noticed that Collini had it. I believe Diego Godin for Uruguay. And there were several players that were going with this. At least they were solid colors and not those ugly Adidas black and white deals. And what's with Muslera? Was he wearing two pairs of socks, or was he wearing leggings, or what? It was like 90 degrees for the air temperature, so he must have really bad knees or something. Forlan nearly doubled the lead, but both teams, again, had trouble creating clear-cut chances. Halftime came with the South Americans up 1-0, something needed to change to produce a more entertained second half. For the second half, Old Chicago turned the sound on to the Tigers game, which was disappointing. An event every 4 years involving the entire world or one game in a 162-game season with two Midwestern American teams. I'm sure I'm in the wrong here. Anyway, the opening 15 minutes of the second half changed the game. Costa Rica chased down a ball in the corner, and the hopeful cross missed everyone but Joel Campbell, who fired the ball in. Speaking of Joel Campbell, Arsenal keep complaining about not having a striker. They do have one, he just plays for other teams. Then just minutes later, a free kick was served to the back post and Duarte showed great body control to meet the ball with his head and send it into the far post. Uruguay brought on attacking subs in an attempt to salvage something from the game. No Suarez and not much in their approach. A little more closing down the ball, but a lack of sustained possession meant they had a hard time breaking down the Costa Ricans. The Costa Rican sub paid instant dividends with Uranus scoring almost instantly to seal the points. From my perspective, the group is upside down. It'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. For the marquee matchup of the day between Italy and England, there was lots of news about the pitch in Manaus. There were some pictures showing a threadbare field, while there's been much talk about how the field was painted a la NASL shenanigans so many years ago. In a surprising turn of events, England versus Italy was hugely entertaining. England came out with energy and put the Italians under pressure. but Italy was clearly exploiting Rooney not tracking back and the England midfield not getting close to them. This situation caused a corner for Italy from which Pirlo dummied the short corner and Marchisio unleashed a laser. England came back with a fantastic response. Sterling released Rooney down the left-hand side, who clipped in a perfect ball for Sturridge to knock home. Balotelli then narrowly embarrassed Hart, who had had some shaky moments right before halftime. Thought Sergio stepped in and did well for the injured Buffon and really had only one hairy moment on a corner kick. My guess was that the second half was going to be much more pedestrian as the teams tired and settled for the point. And after Balotelli scored 5 minutes into the second half, that's exactly what happened for the Azzurri. Italy walked at the second 45 minutes with Pirlo pulling the strings. England had no answers and their play from the right-hand side was very poor. Steve McManaman pointed out on ESPN that England really lacked the experience to get back in the game, and for that they were punished. Rooney was all over the place with his play and with his shots. He didn't provide cover for Baines in the first half, then they switched him to the right-hand side, and then he went back to the left when Barkley came on. Sturridge faded, and Sterling wasn't as dynamic, especially when he got shuffled out to the right-hand side. Watched the game with some guys and had a totally different experience. These guys were into the game, especially the Englishmen, and they were opinionated and knowledgeable. There was lots of give and take and even some EPL fantasy discussion at halftime. For the nightcap, we saw the golden generation of Ivory Coast take the field, and for a while, it looked like Les Elephants were going to crash out. Honda took advantage of a mental vacation by his opponents and roofed in the opening goal. But by the end of the half, it looked like Ivory Coast might make a game of it, but were struggling in the final third. The passing and energy and composure of the Japanese fade throughout the game, which was their undoing. Drogba was introduced at the perfect moment in the second half. The Japanese rear guard stuck to him like glue, allowing the other Ivorian attackers just that extra amount of space. Combine that with dangerous balls from Aurier, and Ivory Coast turned the match around 3 minutes midway through the second half. Japan sent on subs with little effect, and now the African team has a real chance to progress for the first time. A couple of player notes, Kagawa had a blue samurai jersey on, but easily could have been the red of Manchester United. He really struggled. Yaya was clearly not fit and not at his best. They will need him against Colombia. Wilfred Bony started ahead of Drogba and got in good positions, but struggled in his finishing. Kalou was asking questions out on the wing while the Japanese attackers kept trying the same quick interchanges in the final third with little payoff. I call this match a draw in my predictor, but still have the Ivory Coast coming out of the group, so looking good there. Avoid defeat against Colombia and they will make it. As for Japan, they need to pick themselves up so that they can beat Greece and have something to play for on match day three. It was a long day, but what action. In terms of attacking thrust and goals, this tournament is miles ahead of ones in recent memory. Today is Group E, plus Argentina takes the field for the first time. Can't wait to see what today brings. I just want to take a second and thank everyone for checking this podcast out. I really appreciate and appreciate any comments and feedback. As a note, my regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomatic.com or on iTunes. So until tomorrow, ta-ta!